Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our discussion. And we continue in our second hour with really two incredible people who have an amazing event to tell us about. Arias in the Afternoon, Lifting Every Voice, is an afternoon of music and history in support of the Underground Railroad Education Center. In Albany on December 14th at 1 p.m. at the New York State Museum. You can join MC Rex Smith for the beauty of Handel's Messiah with a performance by Daniel Pasco Aguilar alongside the Smithsonian's Voices and Votes exhibit as they confront our complex history and continue the fight for education and truth. Growing out of a research project on the Underground Railroad in the Capital Region, Paul and Mary Liz Stewart's work uncovered the voices and stories of people written out of history. Together, these voices provide a different accounting of Underground Railroad activism and change the American narrative. And this event will be for the Underground Railroad Education Center, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Paul and Mary Liz Stewart to the roundtable this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. What a delight.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you for having
pleasure.
Us.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always fun.
So
always
nice
fun.
To have you here. So this is a wonderful event that will be taking place on December 14th at the New York State Museum. So where are we with as far as the Underground Railroad Education Center? How are things going? How are things moving? And what are sort of the projects at hand?
Well, things are continuing to expand. From the last time we were here, I must admit, we may have only had two staff people on board, maybe three. We're up to eight right now. So very exciting, which means we can expand programming, expand our outreach, have a wider and bigger impact on folks that we engage with over
and
time.
As it is, all of that is packed into that 10-room Greek Revival-style townhouse called the Stephen and Harriet Myers Historic Site. And so we're bulging at the seams. We're ready to move into something larger, and that's why we're looking to build an interpretive center, and that's why in part that's why we're having this event.
Yeah.
What would an interpretive center look like? What would it allow you to do that you're not doing now?
As I often say, we're only limited by our imaginations in terms of what we can do with this building. We being Underground Railroad Education Center, need space to host programming that we cannot host right now. Large exhibits, educational workshops, larger groups, things of that sort, but, research as well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we also are committed to making sure that this building is of use and purpose for the community. So hosting a farmer's market, since the Myers residence and the Interpretive Center are in Arbor Hill, it's a food desert. So arranging for ease of availability of healthy foods through farmer's market is something that we've been very excited about doing. We'll have a commercial kitchen in this interpretive center, which means that not only can we use it for events that Underground Railroad Education Center may host, but other groups coming in can utilize it, as well as it being a space where small entrepreneurs who would like to get out of their own kitchens and expand their businesses can, collaborate with us to use that space.
And we've been using outdoor space, I think, effectively, but it has its limits. And by outdoor space, I'm thinking like the time we had 125 junior high students come over, and we couldn't fit them all into the Myers residence. you know, the living room is probably good for like, I say 15 to 25.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And that's tight at 25.
Damn fire code.
Yeah. So you know, we would devise strategies for rotating them through, you know, from outside to inside and using the grounds in different ways. But, you know, having this interpretive center will have give us an opportunity to be able to host groups like that in an indoor setting, which is a little bit more comfortable. You know, events like our 4th of July oration that we have every year, you know, we usually get about 100 people, you know, and it's all done in the backyard. You know, one year it rained and we were inside. That was challenging. Yeah. But, yeah.
Some of the other things, though, too, just to mention a couple of other things in terms of how the interpretive center can be used, include making space available for legal clinics, hosting what I usually call introductory workshops to introduce folks who are interested to job possibilities, thinking particular green jobs, where to go, where funding is available for training, educational programs, things of that sort. So for us, this is very much what I would call sort of a dual purpose building, in that it serves the needs of Underground Railroad Education Center, but also is looking to very definitely serve the needs of the community. And it's going to be a resilience hub, which means that in times of community crises, you know, when there's really high heat waves or major storms, when folks can come to the Interpretive Center as a place of refuge.
Yeah. Let me ask about the research, too, because that work always goes on, right?
Yeah. Right.
And what is... how would you characterize that now of what you're continuing to find out?
Well, I think one of the things that we'd like to do is to talk about those things that are often not mentioned that are a part of Albany's history and the region's history. People may be familiar with something like the story of Charles Nall and his rescue in Troy under the Fugitive Slave Law, but maybe they're not as aware that maybe for this region, maybe as many as 20 times Frederick Douglass spoke different places in the area, or maybe they're not familiar with Lydia and Abigail Mott, the two Quaker ladies who were very active in Albany in the 1830s and 40s and 50s. You know, there are lots of other stories that have long been overlooked in terms of Albany's relationship to the abolition in history and the Underground Railroad.
What I'd like to add, though, is that we also, with a new staff member researching black mariners since John Johnson, who was brother to Harriet Myers, he was the man who actually owned what is today Stephen and Harriet Myers' residence. And so we've been very interested in delving deeper into his history and the history of other colleagues of his. So the story of black mariners is something that we're working on right now. So we're looking forward to that. And, of course, always looking to expand the connections of those folks that we have traditionally been focusing on, trying to expand an understanding geographically of who they were interacting with and what all these folks were doing collaboratively.
What their lives were all about, you know.
Yeah. Arias in the Afternoon, Lifting Every Voice is an afternoon of music and history in support of the Underground Railroad Education Center. It takes place on December 14th. At 1 p.m. at the New York State Museum. You can find out more information about the great work from this organization as well as about the musical event, undergroundrailroadhistory.org, undergroundrailroadhistory.org. My thanks to Paul and Mary Liz Stewart for being with us. It's always a delight to have you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I look forward to it. Best of luck with a beautiful event. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.